Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Metzia Daf Gimel. We will begin on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, 8 lines from the top. In Mitzvah Shem, we're going to learn on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Machlokes Chama and Rabbi Yosi, where two people had deposited money by an individual, and one had deposited mana 100, and one had deposited Masayim 200. And each one of them says that they were the ones that deposited the 200. The Chum's opinion is that each one of them receives a mana, and the third mana, Yemuna Chachiyav Aliyo, is left in abeyance until we could definitively know who it belongs to. Yosef's opinion is that it turns out that by taking that approach, the person who's being dishonest has nothing to lose. He actually only put down a mana, and that's what he's going to come back with. So, says because of that, says Rabbi Yosi, the whole entire amount should be left, and like that, we will get the person who was dishonest, suggests Rabbi Yosi, to admit that what he did was wrong. Says the Gemara, Lema Masnisin. It seems that our Mishnah is not consistent to like Rabbi Yosi. It's not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yosi. Dear Rabbi Yosi, if we were going to say our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, Hamar, the Rabbi Yosi, as we just quoted, says in that Mishnah, Rabbi Yosi said, She'im Kain, if we're going to just leave the third mana separate, Mav Sid HaRamoi, the Ramoi has nothing to lose by what he's doing here, and because of that, Elakol, we leave everything in abeyance, Achiyav Elio, until we can know for sure what's the case. So, and that's the case in our mission as well, asked the Gemara, shouldn't everything be left until we can know for sure what's the case? So what are you going to say, says the Gemara, Elamai, because of this question, what must you say? The Masnisa, my Rabbanim, the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbanim. But I asked the Gemara, Kivan Am Rabbanim. Even the Rabbanim in that opinion, in that Mishnah say, Hashai Yemun Chachiyav Elio, we leave the part that there's a dispute over is left on the side, Achiyav Elio, Hainami. So ask the Gemara in our Mishnah 2, since both of them are arguing over the entire talis, and the Rabbanim say that whatever you argue over is left. So Hanami, here too, the halacha should be that Kishadami, the entire talis, which is the subject of the dispute between these two individuals, should be left to the side, the Sekehu, because that entire amount is the subject of a question. Says the Marhaimai. Your point is incorrect, says the Gemara. Yeah, B'shlom Rabbanon. If we're going to suggest that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbanon, Hossam, in that case that we just started the shiur with, quoting the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Zayin, later in our Masechta, Vaday Hai Mana Dechayad Menayahu. This second mana belongs to one of these two people. We just don't know whom. And therefore, Amri Rabbanon, the Rabbanon say, what should we do with it? It should be left to the side until we know for sure what is its status. But in the case of our Mishnah, as we said in our previous year, Dikla Meimer, there is in that Mishnah, there's certainly somebody who's saying something which is not true. But in our Mishnah, it could be that the talis does indeed belong to both of them, because they both picked up this talis at the same moment. Amri Rabbanan says, so therefore say the Rabbanan in our Mishnah, Amri Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say in our Mishnah, Palgi b'shvua, each one of them should make a shvua, and then we shall divide it. Eli Amrit, if we're going to say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Yosi, Hashta, let's think about it. Mahosam, yes, there's an argument on the second mana. But on the first mana, Vadi Ikam Mana Lamar, certainly one mana belongs to one of those individuals, Vikam Mana Lamar, and still Rabbi Yosi's opinion is Amr Rabbi Yosi Menachat Sheva Liyol. We don't want to leave it. We leave everything to the side. Hachab. But in our Mishnah, where we don't have for certain, we don't know for certain that the Aloch, that anybody, that Ikla Meim Dechaminayhu, maybe one of them is not entitled to anything, and yet, so like Koshkein, shouldn't Rabbi Yosi say that we, since we don't know what the status is, we should leave Atshiyav Al Yo, says the Gemara, Afilu Tema, Rabbi Yosi. Still says the Gemara, the Gemara wants to suggest that our Mishnah can be consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, because Hasam Vade Ikra Moi. In that Mishnah, as we just said, there's certainly somebody who's lying. Hachab, but as we also just said, Mi Yem Dikra Maya. Maybe who says that there's a certain liar, because as we keep on saying, Ema Tavai Bahadi Adad Egbo. They both picked it up at the same moment. Inami, another way of differentiating, suggests the Gemara from between our Mishnah and that Mishnah. Hasam Kanes Le Rabbi Yosi Lerimai. There, Rabbi Yosi told the person who's clearly saying something not true, we want to incentivize him to say the truth. So that's why Rabbi Yosi Lerimai Kecha Deloidi. We want to incentivize him to say the truth. How do we incentivize him to say the truth? By not giving anybody anything, and he's going to realize that not saying the truth has not paid off for him. Hachsam Konesle Rabbi Yosi Lerimai Kecha Deloide. Hacha, but our Mishnah, we're speaking about a Metzia. It's not something that was mine that I gave someone to hold, and now I have a chance of losing something that was mine all along. My Pseide Ikha Deloide, I have nothing to lose because it wasn't mine in the first place. So therefore, the incentive that I should say, admit to the truth, so I should at least get back what belongs to me, we don't have that in our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Tenach, this logic is understandable by Metzia, as we just explained, by something that was found. Something that was found didn't cost me anything, I'm not that incentivized to admit, because I really have nothing to lose. But we also explained in our previous year, that our Mishnah speaks also about Mekach u'Memkar. Mekach u'Memkar is where I spent money. And now, if it's going to be left, we want to incentivize him to say the truth. So why shouldn't Rabbi Yosi in our Mishnah say Yemunach Atshiyav Elio? Ela Machvarta, because of this question, we have to say Kedeshninim Mi'akara, that the third mana. In that Mishnah, there's certainly somebody who's saying something which is not truth. But in our case, there's not necessarily that way. It could be, as we keep on saying, they both picked it up at the same moment, and therefore we're not so quick. Rabbi Yosi will not say a concept that we want to punish the Ramoy. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, why can we say that the Mishnah speaking about a case where the buyer seller only received money from one of them, but the seller is not here, and therefore here too will be a case where the Ramoy has nothing to lose because he didn't really pay. So the Nachs Yisrael says that could have been an answer that the Gemara suggested, but the Gemara preferred to give an answer that speaks both to a case where we know that both paid and to a case where we don't know if both pay. The Beis Aaron says as follows, when there's a suffix, hefsa l'ramoy, when there's a question that he may lose money, there we say yemunach to incentify. But, because maybe, in fact, he says deeper, just because one of them gave the money doesn't mean it's his, because he maybe gave the money, but he didn't become his, because the other one made a kinyan first. And therefore, the giving of the money is not indicative of what really happened. Ask the Gemara. Bein l'Rabbanan, bein Rabbi Yosi, both according to both opinions. Hasam gabichamvani alpon kasai. We learned in our previous year where there was an employer who had employees, and the employer told the chamvani, whatever I owe my employees, please
please lay out for me. He says to them, lay out the money for me. And then the chemveni says, I laid out the money. You owe me the money that I laid out. And the workers say, we never got paid. So we learned the other day that the halach is, zed nishma v'noitel, the chemveni swears that he laid out the money and will be entitled to get paid from the employer. Zed nishma v'noitel, and the worker swears that he didn't get paid and he'll be able to collect his salary. Says the Gemara, Maishna, why is that different? The Laimrina nafklamani mibal bayis. Why shouldn't we say over there as well that the loch ought to be leave the money where it is? The yemunach, and it should be left at Shiyav Aliyo. Because we're learning now that when there's a certain Ramoy, we both Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi take that into consideration. And in this case, the chenveni or the worker is certainly saying something which is not true. So why don't we say the concept of Yemunach Shel Yov? Amri, so they answered, Hosom, in the case of Chemveni al Pinkosoi, Haino Tama, that's the reason that the Chemveni could swear and take from the Baal Bayis what he says he laid out. Domele Chemveni al Baal Bayis, because the Chemveni says to the Baal Bayis, Anosh the Chus de Dokka Evidna, you asked me to lay out the money. And I did what I was asked. Ma isli gaba schar. I don't know your worker. I don't have any room for discussion with your worker. He's not somebody that I have any relationship. And therefore, whatever he says is meaningless to me. Vav gav de komishtabali. And therefore, even if the worker will swear that he didn't get anything from me, his swearing doesn't mean anything to me because a person could choose with whom he could do a business deal with. And here he says, I never chose to do any transaction. I never chose to do any transaction with your worker that I should have to accept a shvu from him. Atamente, you are the one that trusted him. You're the one that trusted that he's not going to take payment and then claim that he didn't take payment. Atamante, what's the proof that you trusted him? The lawyer Martle, Besad Avle, you never told me that don't pay my workers unless you have Adam seeing that I'm paying them. So you trusted them. And therefore, it's not my issue, it's your issue. And on the other hand, Sochanami Omele Labalabais, the employee says to his employer, Ana Avdi Avida de Gabach, I did my job and I deserve to get paid. My Islak Gabach Chavani, are you telling me that the Chavani says he paid me? The Chavani is not a person that I have any relationship with. And therefore, even if the Chemveni were to swear to me that he paid, I don't accept his shvua. Loi mehemenli. The halacha is, I don't trust him, I don't need to trust him. I never entered into a relationship with him. And Hilchach, the halacha is tavai mishtabi, they both have to swear v'shakli. They both swear, and that's all that counts. And the Baal Bayis will have to pay both of them. So here we're learning that they both swear, and the Baal Bayis has to pay both of them. So I saw that the Rishonim asked, I understand the workers; they did the job; they deserve to get paid, and whatever they claim should. Whatever the Chemveni claims, I don't know. I don't have no claim. That doesn't change that I have to get paid. But he says, whereas when we're speaking back to the Chemveni, where the halacha is that if somebody says to me, you owe me money, and I say, I'm not quite sure, that we don't always say that you could just come and say, I owe you money, and that I'll have to pay. So Ramban says that this is a special rule. Otherwise, since most of their business was done with Chemveni, if the Chemveni won't be able to recoup what he's entitled to, the entire world of business will pay will fall apart. And since the entire world of business will fall apart, Chazal made a special rule on behalf of the Chemvani. There are other Rishonim that claim that this is a classical example of Bari V'Shem and Bari Adif. The Chemvani is a Bari, and the owner and the Balabais is a Shema. And we don't necessarily say, we would therefore say that Bari V'Shem and Bari Adif, and the Chemvani can make the claim. The Shalos HaTshuvos Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Zayin, Simen Memches, discusses a situation where somebody has a grocery store, a business, has a book, and the issue that comes up is that the customer, the person who owns this business, has marked in his book that you owe me a certain amount of money, you had credit here, and the customer says that it's not true. The fact that you have it marked in your book is meaningless. So the question is, what is the halacha? Would this be a case of a chenvani al pinkasai, that the our Gemara just said, and the way we understood it from the Rishonim, is that Chazal gave a special privilege to the chenvani that we believe him al pinkasai. And the other issue here is that this customer is not saying that they don't owe any money to the chenvani, they don't owe any money to the store. They're just saying that they don't owe as much as it says. And therefore, that would be a case of Moed HaMikzis, which we're about to learn in a moment, that the halacha is by Moed HaMikzis, you have to make a shvua. So the Tzitz Eliezer says that we can't necessarily compared to that case, to our case. In that case, in the case that we're learning here, the chenvani is asked to lay out the money. Since the chenvani is asked to lay out the money, the halacha is Chazal gave him a special namonis. But in the case where somebody just has a book and he marks down that people owe him different amounts of money, so we don't have a precedent that that's called that the chenvani has a special namonis. However, he does say that as much as it's not the case of chenvani al pinkasai that we're learning, it is a case of moed b'miksas. The coming sugi that we're going to learn that the halacha is moed b'miksas is chayiv. The Cheshukei Chemed discusses a shaila where there's somebody, he says, who owns a store and this credit, and everything is marked down. But of course, nowadays people don't have a book, they have a computer. And one day, everything that was entered into the computer was wiped out. So the question now is, it's a tremendous loss for this person who owns the business. On the other hand, he doesn't have any proof that I owe him any money. What is the halacha? Is the halacha that we should perhaps follow what is usually the case? Can we suggest that normally I spend this much every day in the store? This is what we have a record that this person spends this much in the store. Since we have a record that this person spends this much in the store, we can assume that that was spent that day as well. So the halacha is, of course not. Because we know the halacha is, we always say, Hamaitz mechaveroi, all of araya. You have to be able to bring definitive proof how much I bought from you. And if you can't, I can't. So the question is, how do we look at this? Because the chenvani, if he doesn't have any proof that I owe him money, this is going to be a case of a mitzvah vera olav araya. But what's going to be the halacha if I know that I bought from you that day, but I don't remember how much I spent? So how much that do I have to pay him? So he quotes Rishonim, that somebody made such a claim, but he can't say for sure how much I owe him. But maybe lots of Sadeh Shemayim, I should have to pay till I know for sure that I paid up. So if there's a question, I spend $10 or $20, lots of Sadeh Shemayim, that I should have to pay. So he quotes Rav Chaim Brisker, that Rav Chaim Brisker said, Rav Chaim Ben Bemashti, who says that if somebody says a specific sum of money I owe him, and I say I don't know, so then lots of Sadeh Shemayim, I should have to pay the amount he claims I owe him. But in our case that we're mentioning now, where the person who's making a claim to me says, I know, you know, you bought from me, but he's not able to give me a number, how much I owe. In such a case, the halacha is that I may not have to pay because there's no definitiveness based on his claim. And he quotes the Shulchan Aruch Chayshim Mishpat, Simen Ayin Hei Sif Yudches, Tanu Shneim Sofik. If both of them have a claim that's a Sofik. Kegoyim, Shetanu Halav Yisecha, you say you lent me money, Veni Dei Kama, and I don't remember how much I lent you. And I say, Emesh Halav Yisecha, you did lend me money, Veni Dei Kama, but I don't remember how much. The aloch is that I only have to say, I don't have to make any shvua, and I only have to pay as much as I'm certain I have to pay you. I don't even have to lotus day shemayim pay you anymore. Says the Gemara. Tanan b'chiyah. So as we mentioned, our Gemara now is going to get into the halacha of moedim b'mikzus. Tanan b'chiyah. B'chiyah teaches us a braisa. Money li b'yotcha, if you come to me and you claim that I owe you a mona, $100, v'lama en l'cha b'yodei klum, and I respond that I owe you nothing. V'm'idim e'idim alav sheyesh l'chamishim zos, but there are edim that say that I do owe you 50. The halacha is, nois l'chamishim zos, so now you have a claim of 50, a definitive claim of 50, you have two edim backing up your claim, so I have to pay you that 50. V'yishav al ashar. The halacha, as we know, the Torah teaches us in Parshas Mishpatim, actually by the parasha of a Shai Mechinim, Ashiyoyme Kihu Zeh Adol Akim Yovid Vashneim, and Kihu Zeh, we learn that that means a Moedim Mixus, that I swear, by Moedim Mixus has to swear, and this is but the case of Moedim Mixus is a case where I am admitting that I owe you the money. Here, we're not speaking about a case that I'm admitting to the money. Here, we're speaking about a situation where there are edim that are the source of the Moedim Mixus. And the Gemara now begins a sugya if the halacha of Moedim Mixus was said only when the person is making the claim of being a Moedim Mixus, the person to whom you're having a claim to, or is Moedim Mixus said even by Edom. So Rav Chi is teaching us in the Spraisa, Noisim Lechamishim V'yishav Al Ashar, Shloi Teheh Dos Piv, the halacha is by Dos Piv should not be stronger than Hadas Edom. The Kavachomer. The Gemara is going to say, based on the Kavachomer, if the Torah Akdosha teaches us that you chayif and moedim amixis when you made it on your own, then the halacha certainly should be when it's based on edim. And Tana Tuna, and continues Rav Chiya in teaching us, there's a brisa that supports this. The brisa teaches us shnayim oyx metalis, two people are holding on to a garment. Zayim animitasiya, zayim animitasiya. Each one of them says, I'm the one that found it, and therefore it belongs to me. So we learned, as we learned in the Mishnah, that each one of them should make a shvua that they have at least 50, that they own at least 50% of the talis. Says the Gemara, v'hocha, in the case of our Mishnah, kim the tofes, each one of them is holding on to half of the talis, anant sadi, so that's like edim. The maida tofes hai the dehu, it's like edim backing up their claim, because holding something is possession is a very strong factor in making a determination. And not sadi the maida tofes hai the dehu, maida tofes hai the dehu. And yet the Mishnah says v'ktani yishava. So we see that this is a case of edim, And even though it's a case of Edom, it's considered Moida B'mixis with Edom. And the halacha is that Moida B'mixis with Edom, you make a shvua, says the Gemara. Now the Gemara starts to analyze what Rav Chiya meant. What did Rav Chiya mean, asked the Gemara, what did he mean with that statement? Says the Gemara, that maybe, where did the Torah say there's a shvur for Maida B'mixis? Only when it was based on my own admission. Why? And now the Gemara quotes the Gemara that we learned in Masechet Baba Kamma, because it's a fascinating halacha that the Torah teaches us. The Torah Kedoshah teaches us that a Maida B'mixis has to swear, but if I kaifa b'kol, if I completely deny the claim, I don't have to swear. So at first glance, this is a very difficult halacha to understand. Isn't the fact that I'm a Maida B'mixis an indication that I'm saying the truth? And kaifa b'kol may be more of an indication that I'm not saying the truth. Yet we find here that just the opposite, says the Gemara, Kedirabba. So Rabba explained what's the basis. Domarovim, Neima Amritar Maida B'mixis Satani Yeshava. Why is the Alocha Maida B'mixis Yeshava? And as we learned, when we learned the Sugya Masechet Baba Kamma, we're not supposed to ask why. And yet here the Gemara, why does the Torah say something? So the way to understand the Gemara's question is not why, the two ways of learning. One way of learning is, as we just essentially explained, why is the halacha that Maida B'mixis swears and a Kofar Kol does not swear? Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos' approach is that if the halacha is that Maida B'mixis swears and a Kofar Kol does not swear, so why doesn't every Maida B'mixis have a migui that he could have said? Doesn't he have a migui that he could have said that he'd be in kaifra kol? Says the Gemara, because there's a chazaka that in other meis b'fnei bal chayvay. A person doesn't have the audacity to somebody who lent him money that he should tell him, I don't owe you any money. So this b'hai b'kud b'hai nifkri, he really wanted to deny v'hadalai kafri, but why did he not deny? He doesn't have the audacity to do so. So if that's the case, so he should admit that I owe the whole money. Says the Marva, because if I don't have that chutzpah, so why don't I just admit? Because I'm trying to stall. And like this, I think I could buy time at the Havilei Zuzi until I have the ability to pay, and then Upranale I'll pay up. And therefore, Amrachmana, that therefore the Torah said, Ram Shvuale, make a Shvu Kech de Loyde Bekule. And as the Ramban explains, so if this person, as we're learning now, is really a good person, and he doesn't have the chutzpah to lie, so if that's the case, asked the Ramban, so we should trust him that he's just trying to buy time. Says the Ramban, what happens is that there are many times a slippery slope. At the beginning, all his entire intention was just to buy time. But once he swore, and once he got into this, then he's going to start denying with fair intention. What's going to ultimately happen is he's going to deny it altogether. Avo, suggests the Gemara, Kados Edom, where we don't have this entire logic, the Leklamei Mahacha, Emaloi, maybe under those cases, that's not considered a case of Moida B'mixis. That's why Rav Chiya comes to teach us, Kamashma, Rav Chiya comes to teach us based on a Kal V'chaymer that we do say the din of Moida B'mixis even in a case of Edom. Every morning we say Brichas HaShachar, and we say the last bracha, the bracha shachar, is Hagoyim Chasod and Toiv L'Am Yisrael, and then we say Yirotzon. We say Yirotzon, and one of the things we daven for Shetatzilenu Me'azi Ponim, Me'azis Ponim. So sort of the Sefer Niti Eshel says, what is the connection? What is the connection between these two tefillas? So he says that we just learned that Moed B'Mitzvos Yishava because Ein Adam Meis B'fnei Baal Chayvei. So what we say every morning is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his incredible generosity, gives us everything, as we say every Shabbos in Nishmas. V'ilu fina malei shira kayom, ein anachnu maspikim l'hoidus l'cha Hashem l'keinu, alachas me'elef alfa elovim, nisim v'toy v'shasisu emanu. So we're chayovim takarash baruch hu. So we every one of us feels obligated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all that he does for us. But we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that chas v'sholem, we shouldn't become as upon him. Chas v'sholem, we shouldn't become the types of individuals that even though Hashem is so kind with us, to us, we don't recognize that chesed. We also say in Tachnun, that what we say is that we don't have the ability, if a person recognizes all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, then we have the chazaka that the Gemara just taught us of a chazaka ein adam meis panav b'nei chayvai. Once a person recognizes that all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for him, he becomes an individual that will always have to do what's right. And therefore, we say in the Tachnun, Shenana Azeponim. As we said earlier, the source for the halacha of Moedah B'Mitzvos is the Pasuk Ki Huzeh. The Sefer Kehilas Yitzchak in Parshas Mishpatim explains, how do we know from the words ki hu zeh, the halacha of Moedah B'Mitzvos? He says, the word hu is a lashon nister. It doesn't speak direct. And zeh is direct. When somebody comes to me and makes a claim that I owe him money, and I completely deny it, and Beis Din doesn't know who is right or who's wrong, so Beis Din, it's all nister. It's all not clear. However, when somebody is a Moedah B'Mitzvos, there's a part which is who, there's a part which is unclear, the part that we're disputing, and there's a part that is zeh, there's a part that is clear, the part that I'm admitting to. So that's how he explains, we know that the pasuk of ki hu zeh is coming, is the source to teach us that it has to be a mixus, says the Gemara, or my kalvachomer. So now the Gemara goes a step further. We said that there's a kalvachomer that if by I make a claim moedah mixus yishava, certainly if there are aidim backing up the claim, that halacha should be that I'm chayiv based on a kalvachomer. And the Gemara explains what is the kalvachomer. Uma pivsh ein mechayiv imamen. If my own admission can't make me owe money, the Gemara is going to explain in a minute. Mechai v'shvuos, it can make me chai v'shvuah. Edim shemechai v'shemamim, if there are edim against me, that the halacha is that I have to pay, says the Gemara, then certainly mechai v'shvuah, they can be mechai v'shvuah. As the Gemara, what did he just mean? The piv ein mechai v'shemamim, I can't be chai v'shemamim based on my own admission. Don't we know that Hadas Baldin Kmei Edim Dami? If I admit to something, then certainly I have to pay. My mammon, says the Gemara, what we learned that Piv is not Mechayiv Mammon, we're speaking about Knas. Because we know that Halacha is that Moedah B'Knas doesn't pay based on his own admission. And now the Gemara learns the Kal V'Chomer. Uma Piv She'ei Mechayiv Knas. If somebody's a Moedah B'Knas, he doesn't have to pay, but still the halacha is moedah b'mitzvos is mechayiv shvuah. Edim shemechayiv nosek knas. A person is chayiv knas based on the testimony of edim. Ma edim shemechayiv nosek knas. And edim shemechayiv nosek shvuah. Says the Gemara. But so that's why we see that edim are stronger than piv. But ask the Gemara. Ma lepiv shekem mechayiv karbon. If a person comes and admits that he did an avera b'shoigi for which he's chayv a carbon, he'll have to bring the carbon, even if Edom say he didn't do the Saveira. Time about Edom, when we speak about Edom, that halacha is Shema Chayven as a carbon. That Edom, if Edom, for example, say, I ate non-kosher food, and based on that I would be Chayv Karban Chattis, and I say it's not true, that the halacha is Eima Chayven as a carbon. So we see that in certain way, Piv is stronger than Edom. Answers the Gemara, Halay Kasha. That isn't a good question, because says the Gemara, because Rav Chiya Kermes really. Rav Chiya is going to hold like Rameya. Rav Chiya's opinion is that if Edom say Mechayim and Isa Karban, that if Edom say I did something for which I chayiv a carbon, I'm going to have to bring that carbon based on a Kav HaChayim, which we're going to learn right now. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masech, the Krisis, the Afyur Aleph of Abayis teaches us. Amalei Shnayim Achalti Chaylev. Two Edom come and say that I ate chaylev b'shagig. V'amalei Achalti. And I claim that I did not eat the chaylev. Ramea Mechai. Ramea says I'm going to have to bring a car mechantas. The Chum say I don't. Ask Ramea to the Chachamim. Im if Yishneim l'day Mishchamura. If two Edom say that I did an Aveira for which the Chi of Misa, that the halacha is that the person will be Chai Misa. So certainly he says, Lo Yivieu Le Karban Akal, shouldn't they have the ability to make me have to bring a carbon, which of course is not as serious, as Misa? Armaloi says, Seyre Chachamim to Rameyer, even if the Edom are right, but the person can still get off the hook from bringing the carbon. Ma im yirtzalaymer, because what would be if this person who the Edom are saying ate the chaylev would say mezra yisi? I was amazed that the halacha is ein mechayv that yipater. He won't have to bring a carbon chatos because a carbon chatos is only brought the shaygik. Tosfos asks. The Ramei is suggesting that Edom could force me to bring a carbon. But how could Edom force me to bring a carbon? Doesn't the Mishnah Masech the Erech and Afchav Aleph Amar Aleph teach us that Chai v'chatis eim emashkenai say, that a person who's Mechai v'choy v'kar mechatis, Bezin doesn't force him to pay. So how could we say that Edom could force me to be Chayiv? Could force me to bring a carbon. Nobody could force me. Bezin doesn't force me. So Taisa says a beautiful teretz. When is there a halacha the chayvik carbon aim a mashkin say that we don't force a person to bring a carbon? That's only in a case where I admit that I owe a carbon. I'm just delaying bringing the carbon. So in a case where I admit that I owe a carbon, I'm just delaying it. That's the halacha. That there the halacha is that aim mashkin say I cannot be forced to bring a carbon. But Al Gemara is speaking about a very, very different situation. Al Gemara is speaking about a situation where I'm arguing that I don't own a carbon altogether. In a case where I argue that I don't bring a carbon, then the halacha is that in a case like this, they would force me. And that's what Ramei is saying is that the Edom could accomplish. The Shas HaTshuvas Maral Nach speaks about a Kohen who killed somebody. That the halacha is the Kohen Shaharag is a Nefesh, may not duchen. And what will be the halacha if there are no Edom that could testify that he killed somebody? What will be the halacha? Can he still, will be kosher to duchen when he knows and he's saying I killed somebody? So he says a very important point, which is based on what Tosfos in our sugya says. The Gemara is saying that I could have always said mezra yisi. I could have always said that I did this aveir b'mezid. And the question is, how can we say that I could have always said mezid ha'yisi? Don't we have a rule throughout Shas that ein odom mesim atzmei rosha? A person is not believed to say that he did an aveira. So how here am I believed to say ilam mezid ha'yisi? So Tosfos establishes a very important point. When do we say that ein odom mesim atzmei rosha? Where there's no Isser involved. But as we learned a moment ago, the halacha is that somebody who owes a carbon has to, if he only be shogeg. But mezid, you don't bring a carbon. So now what would be the halacha if somebody said that he did, what would be the halacha if somebody said that he did this aveira? And he did it, if he did it be mezid, bringing the carbon is chulun ba'azara. So even though there's a rule of ein adam meisim atzmei rasha, we don't apply the rule of ein adam meisim atzmei rasha if the price of applying that rule is making somebody do an aveira, and therefore we'll believe him. The Gemara quoted the opinion of the Chachamim that even if Edom say that eight chelev, the halacha is that I don't have to bring a carbon. And the Gemara Masech Krisis Daf Yud Beis, in explaining the opinion of the Chachamim, say because Adam Nemen Al Atzmai Yosef Mei Ish, a person is believed regarding his own matters more than 100 Edom. And Rashi explains that a person would not falsely deny that he's chayv a carbon, because bringing a carbon is a opportunity. It's an opportunity to get a kapara. And therefore we are convinced that a person would not give up the opportunity to bring a carbon unless he indeed wasn't chayv in the carbon. The Ramban give a different explanation for the Chachamim, because the Torah says, oy hoidilov, a person is only chayv a carbon, hoidilov, chatosai, he knows of his aveira. So, therefore, when it comes to kaponis, the halacha is that a person is more believed than anybody else. Tosfos says that just like one is believed when he says he didn't eat chalev, we also believe him that he ate the chalev, and because the halacha, and there's no concern of ein adam meisim atzmei rasha. Says, ask the Rebbeinu Peretz, that if a person is supposed to, we believe the person, and now it turns out that even if the Edom say different than him, the halacha is that we believe him. But ask Rebbeinu Peretz, how could the Kohen bring a carbon on behalf of an individual who's being contradicted by Edom? The Edom say you didn't eat chalev. I thought I ate something not kosher. The Edom thought that I know that it was kosher. So I'm believed, but now the Kohen is going to bring a carbon that doesn't belong in the Beis HaMikdash, and that would be chulun ba'azara. So how could the Kohen, Kohanim, bring my carbon based on my testimony? I am believed for myself. But how did Kohanim believe? So Rebbeinu Peretz answers that a very bechiddush, that the halacha would be that in such a case, I could say I'm chayv a carbon, and the Kohen can't bring the carbon because here he has to believe the Edom. It's a fascinating chiddush that Rebbeinu Peretz says would be the halacha in this case. Says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Ella. So we're back to where we started. What is the Kal v'chomer that Rav Chiya tried to say? Ella malapiv shekem chay v'asham. A person admitted that he did an aveir for which there's carbon asham. His chayiv to bring it. So we see that he has a very big koyach, and that's the same by moed v'miktsas. The halacha is where it comes to carbon asham, that the halacha is that one doesn't bring a carbon asham based on Edom. Ask the Gemara, asham, hainu carbon. Asham is the carbon. So we already differentiated between a carbon, we already went through the Ramei and the Chachamim. Says the Gemara, elamal apif shekem echayiv chaymish. We learned extensively at the end of Masechta Bava Kamma that the halacha is that somebody made a claim against me and I swore falsely. And then I admit to that claim. So I have to break Karen v'chaymish v'asham. So we see that I'm chay v'chaymish based on my testimony. That's why my dvar mixes. But nobody's chay if that Karen v'chaymish v'asham only based on their own admission, not based on Edom. says the Gemara, Holokasha. Kreme Rabchia Kreme is Frile, Viki Heche de Mechaivli carbon. Rame is going to hold just like Adam can make me bring a carbon, so too Mechaivli Chaimish Bekalva Chaimer.
Says the Gemara, Ela Malapiv, Shein Bekachosh Bechazoma. If somebody made an admission, there's no concept of Adam Zomimin.
Taimer be Adam, Shekheyeshna Bekachosh Bechazoma. And that makes Adam different than Haidah's Piv. And that's why the Gemara's question is, how do we connect them?
El Asya Meir Echad, says the Gemara, the way we know that there's a din of Maidah and Mixus is based on the Halacha of Eid Echad. Oma Eid Echad Shem Mechayv and Momin.
If somebody could back up his claim against me only with Eid Echad, I wouldn't have to pay. The only thing that they could do, but they can, and Eid Echad can make me swear.
Eidim, Shem Mechayv and Eishem Momin, if you have two Adim to back up your claim, ain't a din, Shemachai v'nai seshvua.
Says the Gemara, Ma'al Eid Echad, when we speak about Eid Echad, Sheker HaMashu Meir Hu Nishba. What does the Eid Echad say? The Eid Echad says that backs up that I owe you money, and that claim, I now have to swear to deny. But we don't have a precedent that Eid Echad can make me swear on what I didn't say. Taima be'edim, when we speak about Edom, the halacha is that what is the concept that we're trying to learn about Eid Echad? About Edom? We're trying to learn, Edom said that part of the claim against me is true, and I should have to swear because of Moed of a Mixus. I'm not swearing on what they said. Because if they said that I owe the money, of course I have to pay it. I'm swearing on the part that they didn't say, that I'm have to swear that the part that they're not saying I owe, that I still owe, that becomes a Moed of a Mixus, and I have to swear. Shrei Mashu Kaifa Nishba. I'm being asked to swear on what I'm denying. That, says the Gemara, we have no precedent for Eid Echad, that by Eid Echad I have to swear, by Shnei Edom the same thing would be. Our Gemara has been focusing very extensively about what is the halacha about a person namonis to what he says. The Paiskim discuss a question where there's a woman, for example, who admits that she had an adulterous relationship. So we know the Gemara says that the halacha is that there's always a concern, maybe she really meant to wants to marry somebody else. That's the way she wants to get out. What's going to be the halacha, however, where there's reglaim ledover, there's reason to believe that what she's saying is true. The common example is that she's about to die, and she says it in the moment of doing tshuva. So our Gemara said that when the person has a reason to be believed, then the halacha is we believe that person. So what would be the halacha in the various cases? I saw the Paiskim discuss a shaila where there was somebody who was deathly ill, and the doctor said that we have to do some sort of a surgery, but it's not quite certain if the person is going to make it. And this person who was so ill was a shaychet, and he admitted that he said animals that were kosher as not kosher. He said he owed money. He said he did something wrong. What is the halacha about accepting? And now he gets better, and he denies everything that is said. What is the halacha? So the Paiskim say that if there were edim to that admission, we don't have room for discussion. But even if there are no edim to the discussion, the halacha is that it could well be that as much as we don't believe a person because ain't no the Mesim Atzma Rasha, but in our cases that where there's a proof that what he said was true, it's very similar to what our Gemara says. And here, maybe a woman would be believed to say that she had an inappropriate relationship, and the Sheikhid would be believed to say that the food that he served was perhaps not kosher.